This week's episode of Enough, the Minimal Mac podcast, is brought to you by Campaign Monitor. Campaign Monitor is the best email marketing software out there for web designers. You can send beautiful email newsletters to your subscribers and see insightful reports on the results. They also make it easy to design templates for your clients so they can send their own campaigns, all while you earn a profit. Find out more at campaignmonitor.com.
Hey there, Mike.
Hello.
As stated at the end of last show, we've got Julio here to continue our conversation.
Hello.
Julio Ojeda Zapata. She's just about everywhere. St. Paul Pioneer Press, the tech reporter there, tech pundit. He's been on many podcasts. He's other podcasts. We won't mention them because they're not important. He's been on this one before. Author of the book iPad Means Business. About to give a big talk in Cupertino, California. On that, and I posted about that to Minimal Mac and those who attend the talk. If you happen to be in the area, it's super cheap, and you get a free copy of iPad Means Business, so it essentially pays for itself. And he's a fantastic guy and a good friend all around. So we left off on our last episode. We were beginning to get into a subject I've been thinking about a lot lately, and you started to touch upon it, and that was the revelation to you that as you sat and looked around at the wealth of intangibles in your life. That is not about money or stuff, but that you have you live in a wonderful place, despite its many faults, a great country, that you have a wife who, well, quite frankly, she's hot. I don't know how else to put that. She's this tiny little feisty Colombian,
yeah,
woman who.
I think I can make this point sound because Pat spoke about this last time. So the fact that I can remember him talking about your wife Julia means he definitely holds her in high esteem.
Yeah. We and it's okay. Julio understands that.
Well, you have blood in your veins.
There's probably two or three biblical commandments I'm breaking just even talking about it. So, and you have a great house, and you have a wonderful, very smart son. He's basically, I gotta talk about his son for a second because he's essentially like he's a mini Julio. I mean, he's a complete geek. As big of a sci-fi and technology nerd as Julio is, his son is exactly as big of a sci-fi and tech nerd. It's hilarious. I think about this often as well. I'm really very content in life. And sure, there's things I want or things that I think I might need, but if you took 99% of my stuff away, I would still feel like one of the luckiest people on the planet.
I have to interject, Pat. I feel that from discussions that we've had in the past that maybe for yourself a lot of this is found through your Buddhist views.
Yeah, very much so. It's the idea that I have everything I need right here, right now, inside of me to make me happy. I just need to decide to be so.
Right.
That as much as we want to believe that feelings are these things that happen to us, that you know, something makes one happy, or something makes one angry, or something makes one sad. The fact is that those are all choices. They're responses that we choose to have based upon these external forces, and that we could just as easily choose not to have them. Or even more so, choose internal forces to change or moderate those external ones. Recently on patrickrowan.com, I wrote about my love of having clean hands. That I really love washing my hands. I find that if I'm having a stressful day, or I'm finding it hard to get to sleep because I'm, you know, thinking about a million things that I have to get done that I haven't written down or whatever, oftentimes my solution is to get up and to just simply wash my hands. Why? Because, well, just the very act itself of washing my hands and drying them off, and then I hold my hands up to my nose and I smell them, and that's just such a peaceful and calming thing to me, and that I use that device along with other devices to bring me back into the present moment when I feel that I'm getting out of it, mm-hmm. to bring me back into balance when I feel that I'm lacking it, and to remind me of the good things that I have when I'm starting to feel like I don't have enough, or that, you know, I want something more, or that what I have is not satisfying me. Because, you know, not to be cliche, but what I have is, you know, so much more than the majority of people on this planet.
So is it like a meditation practice of sorts? Like when we had Dave on and he was talking about making tea.
Or like I've talked about washing the dishes before.
Yeah, yeah.
That I find that to be part of my meditation practice. So I guess in a way it is.
Just a short one. Just a quick one.
It's a kind of mini meditation. You know, it's a device mainly. You know,
yeah.
It's not, you know, That the cleaning, the washing of the hands are a pathway to a reminder of something, or a trigger, I guess, to the mind. But that I think it's important to identify these tiny things that give you pleasure,
right,
and to use them when you are in a state of displeasure.
Yeah, I had... went after that very thing, you know, when my wife was away. I used to be a complete slob when my wife met me. She would often visit my apartment and there would be banana peels lying in the middle of the living room.
They were just traps, Julia.
Yeah, and two-inch high layers of dust. And
that way, if she slipped and fell, you knew that she would never leave, right?
Exactly. And I've become a completely different person. I need order. I need tidiness. I need cleanliness. And I'm such a busy guy that I never have the time to tidy up. And my beloved wife, you know, one wonderful person, she isn't quite as, shall we say, as tidy as I am.
Mm.
And so I needed to find inner peace, and inner peace is impossible for me now with clutter and disorder.
Hmm.
So right, there's an OCD thing to it.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of calm the OCD, I need my surroundings to be tidy. I need order. And I expended a great deal of effort during that month by myself attacking room after room in the house, like our bedroom. Had blankets and pillows and things, you know, piled up. And I found, like, closets to put these in. And I achieved this masterpiece. It's just my bedroom right now is just a bed. Nothing else. A bed and the wooden walls and... Oh, the wooden floors and the white walls.
Mm.
it's a masterpiece of minimalism and elegance. I spent an entire day. It was very, a very hot day, but I sort of muscled through it. Spent an entire day in the garage, throwing things away, tidying things that didn't need to be thrown away. And my family returned to a completely different house. And that's where a negotiation period began, because in certain ways I overstepped what my wife found comfortable with, that she needed to I put things here and she actually wanted them there. And so, negotiation, that conversation is ongoing, we're sort of achieving a meeting of minds. But that sort of leads me to my other point. I'd found a lot of stress in my life due to clutter and disorder that I didn't have the time to deal with. There was also, my wife won't listen to this podcast, so I'm going to be blunt. There was stress between my wife and I. And we needed a break from each other.
Yeah.
We've been attached to the hip for years. We don't generally go off and do different things. We're usually together. And I'm not exaggerating when I say as this month by myself loomed, it was like, please come. Please, wife, please leave. I need you to leave. Please go away.
You have been banished.
Yeah, I just looked forward to this period so much.
Yeah.
And the last week before, it was just agony because I just wanted to get started. And the time my wife and I spent apart was so good for both of us.
Yeah, yeah.
And now she's back, and my son, he just spent a day here and then turned right around and went to visit some other relatives in New Hampshire. So my wife and I are together, having so much fun together.
Yeah,
we just clicked the reset button on the marriage.
Yeah,
and now we both, without saying so, we both returned into each other's company with the determination to be on our best behavior and to be good partners for each other.
Well, absence makes the heart grow fonder.
Well, and I would say this even more than that.
Let me interrupt, Patrick. And Mike, that's an interesting thing you say. And there's a weird thing about me. When my family was away, I did not miss them at all for that entire period. I'm wired in a very weird way. People tell me my wife is traveling, my kids away, and I miss them so much. And sometimes I scratch my head. That month was awesome. There, God, and during that entire month, I did not care what. That's just the way I'm wired.
I appreciate your honesty.
I appreciate it as well.
That doesn't mean I don't love my wife. That doesn't mean I'm not delighted that she's back.
Yeah.
And we're having so much fun together, in ways, some ways that I can describe, in other ways that I am afraid I cannot.
Although you kind of just
I'll give you an example of one way that I can describe. Like, for instance, one of my goals during my time alone was to learn how to make sushi. I've always had this goal to learn how to make sushi. My family loves sushi. We buy sushi at the supermarket a lot. It's very expensive. And my family is just crazy, crazy, crazy about sushi. And so I had this goal to learn how to make sushi. I love sushi, and I wanted to learn how to make it for myself, but I also wanted to learn how to make it to please my family.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the day my family was to return, I was, cleaning the house. And one of the things I did is I just made the sushi feast for my wife and my son. And we just had this wonderful, absolutely wonderful family dinner when they got back. And then my son went off on his next adventure, and I turned around again, and as a treat for my wife, I made a different kind of sushi, and then we sat down, together in the living room, and watched the movie together, and had our sushi. And I mentioned this as just one of many examples of ways that during my time alone, I tried to enrich myself, to become a better person, a more interesting person, a person that can do more things. And I did this not just for myself, to sort of find this balance within myself that I really needed to find. But also because that makes me a better father, makes me a better husband, makes me a better person.
A better friend.
For the people in my life.
A better neighbor, a better citizen.
And friends is a good point, because the other thing that I'm very incompetent about social connections. I get so obsessed with my job and my family life that I will often neglect my friendships. This is something I'm very embarrassed about. I'm borderline incompetent about maintaining my relationships with friends who I value highly.
Yeah.
Mr. Roan being a prime example of that. And the other thing I aspire to do was I try to achieve a balance during my time alone between solitude and companionship. On the one hand, I craved solitude. There was a time in my life where I found solitude terrifying. Like if my wife had gone off on her trip 10 years ago and not instead of this year, I would have been scared to death. A month by myself. What the hell am I going to do with myself? I would have been scared. If you look, pardon the expression, shitless. But I was ready. I reached a point in my life where I was ready to be alone and make the most of that time alone. But then also during that period, interrupt that solitude occasionally to connect with people who are truly deserving. To sort of I made a short list of people that I know in my area here who A, I hadn't interacted with in a while, and B, I consider to be, true friends, truly people that were truly deserving. And I aspired to connect with those people, and I got together with them for lunch, or I attended one of your pool barbecues, which was wonderful. I invited some people over for dinner, cooked for them.
Yeah, put all those new cooking skills and apps to use. So here's, I want to come back and touch on something that you said. And once again, this kind of reiterates and piles on top of something I said previously, which was, people don't make us happy, right? We are happy, and the reaction we choose to have to certain people makes us happy, but it's us making us happy. It's not them making us happy. And in the same way that you said, you are wired in a strange way, and you didn't miss your wife or your son in that kind of traditional longing sort of sense, but that you certainly had them in mind when you started off on the goal of making yourself better for you, right? That there were things that you wanted to do, things that you wanted to learn, skills that you wanted to have, and choices about the way that you wanted to engage and connect and make some changes there, that you knew would have the end result of improving your relationship with your son and the relationship with your wife. I would say improving is even perhaps the wrong word, because that denotes that somehow you have an effect on them. And I would argue that in fact, no, what it is their view of you and the effect that they choose you to allow on them changes based upon these things, right? I think that that's a very interesting concept and a very interesting shift in point, and something that I very much, it's hard to do. It's hard to do, especially if it's a negative emotion, right? If something is, quote unquote, making you sad or making you angry. But until you do that, until you make that mental shift that this thing can't do that to me, that I'm choosing to react to it that based upon, you know, based upon the criteria that I've set. Only then can you have the power to change it. Only then can you have the power to say, no, I'm not going to let, you know, I'm going to choose not to be angry. I'm going to choose not to be sad because it's a choice. In the same way, you can just as easily choose not to be happy about something versus being happy about something. You can choose to be happy about something.
And that's a really good point. But now comes the hard part. Because right. Now my vacation's over. I'm back at work. I'm being buffeted by work-related stressors.
Yeah.
My wife is back. We
cluttering up the joint.
She's cluttering up the joint. Basically, you know, we belong together. That's very clear. But at the same time, we do things that irritate each other.
Yeah.
And so I run the risk of having these irritations and these stresses start mm-hmm. to pile up again and sort of put me back in that dark place I used to be before. So now the challenge is to sort of hold on to what I discovered about myself and what I achieved and the changes I made myself, to sort of hold on to those mm-hmm. and allow them to better, you know, withstand, you know, some of the problems that I know lie in the future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if it helps for you as well to recognize that you... That the very fact that you can choose to remind yourself and hold on to those things as a way to combat the negative emotions that you're feeling is kind of proof positive that you are in control of those emotions, right?
Yeah, and one very interesting thing is, and I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but I have been taking medication to deal with certain problems. I'm mm-hmm. not going to be terribly specific. But my life is difficult, and one of my solutions up to this point has been to address it partly via medication.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And now here's an interesting thing. As I was sort of getting to the swing of things by myself, I forgot to take my medication for about 4 days, and it was like, oh, that's interesting. I feel fine.
Mm-hmm,
and
interesting.
Okay, let's keep going.
Yeah.
And I ended up going through an entire month without my medication.
Uh-huh.
And I never felt better.
Interesting.
And so that does not necessarily mean I can't not take my medication forever.
Right.
I don't know if that is yes or no. I don't know if that is the way it's going to go. But
you know it's something you can fall back on if you know,
yeah,
if it
but
turns out you need it.
It sort of raised the question, is medication the answer? Maybe it's partly the answer, but it's a very clearly not the only answer.
Yeah.
Or the primary answer.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's apparently something within me that allows me to solve the problems that I faced before that does not involve medication.
And that maybe you didn't even know existed until you had this time alone to discover it.
Exactly. And I'm very, 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 very attuned to myself. I know when I go from a good place to a bad place.
Yeah,
I've been very good about detecting that.
Me too.
Very early on, and I haven't gone there yet, which is very interesting, and I haven't taken my... It's going on 5 weeks now, and I haven't popped a single pill.
Well, as you know, in episode 14, the, you know, kind of now famous episode.
The
14,
episode. That is,
the episode.
In my opinion, the episode.
Yeah. You know, I talked a fair amount about this very thing, and I really do think that at least for me, and it's going to be different for everybody, but it's interesting that you are finding this out for yourself as well to be true, and that is that the mind is the most powerful medication we have, right? And that if there is a problem with it, if there's a problem in the way that it operates, that at least for a lot of people, not for everyone. I would argue, you know, don't do anything without consulting your doctor. It reminds me actually of a Bill Clinton quote about America, actually. And that is that, you know, that everything that's wrong with America can be fixed with everything that's right with America. I think that's true of the brain as well. You know, insert brain for America, and I think you have, I think you have a pretty good clue as to where I'm going. So, yeah, and, you know, we'll wrap this up here. But, you know, I think the takeaway of all of this, and we've been discussing this episode, is that happiness, light, goodness, well-being, perfection, everywhere, surrounds you constantly, surrounds all of us. Also, darkness, anger, sadness, death, loss, surrounds us everywhere. The key is what we choose to see, what we choose to dwell in, what we choose to feel, and that these things are a choice. And there are choices that we constantly have in front of us. And that sometimes just helping to choose, line up a number of the little things that make us happy, that bring us back to a good place, to bring us back to a choice that's a positive one. Having some of those in your back pocket for those times when it's dark and when it's sad and when it's lonely can do a world of good, as Julio, you're finding out now, right? Mm-hmm. So, thanks a lot, Julio. I really, really appreciate you coming and being here and sharing.
Yeah, no problem. I had this goal in the back of my mind to set this all down in writing in a blog post.
Yeah.
And, you know, there are ways to tell stories, and it suddenly dawned on me, I think we've gotten through the story so well on these two podcast episodes.
Yeah.
I don't need to write that blog post. I have told my story, and this is the most appropriate way to do that.
And feel free to link to it on the blog, to embed it if you want. I certainly don't mind at all.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I'm honored that you chose to come here and share and to give us such kind words. So thank you.
And along the lines of kind words, I just want to end with a compliment. One of the things I did during my time alone was to drastically modify my podcast subscription list. It used to be very, 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 almost 100% tech. I ditched a gazillion tech podcasts and brought in a number of other podcasts that have nothing to do with tech, maybe even public radio related. And I gotta tell you, I will never abandon your podcast because it has been such an enriching influence on my life. And I just don't have the time or the patience to stick with a podcast just because a friend does it.
It has to
sort of make the cut and you sort of be deserving of my time because I just don't have very much time. Podcasts are very time consuming. And your podcast is wonderful. It's easily in my top five.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
And I thank you very much for what you've done so far. I can't overstate that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, I really appreciate your kind words.
Yes.
Well, with that, I guess we'll close out the show. Thanks so much for being here, Julio.
Yeah. Thanks again, Julio.
Yeah. No problem.
All right. Well, we'll talk later, guys.
We will do. Cheers.
All right. Cheers.